Scott Pianowski, a little bit of football talk and fantasy football talk as well. He joins us on the West Tour Hotline. We do it every week. We talk to Scott. Scott, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, we've got some news on the Dez Bryant front. If anyone was waiting for Dez Bryant, he jumps on the New Orleans Saints, an offense that hums pretty well before he had he would have showed up. So, I don't know. What are you thinking about Dez Bryant? We've seen some receiver movement, whether it's Demaryius Thomas, Amari Cooper, Golden Tate, and now Dez Bryant becomes the latest one.
Yeah, we're going to get a good test of the theory that I don't really trust receivers when they change teams. Of course, with Dez, it's just a new team altogether in the middle of a season. But at least he goes to New Orleans, Sean Payton, Drew Brees. He's going to have defenses have to be worried about Kamara and Thomas primarily. I think Bryant, I certainly wouldn't play him right away, but I think he could be a wide receiver three in the fantasy playoffs. But that's the extent of it for me. And of all those receivers, the one who I think is the best fit changing teams is Golden Tate. He gets traded during a bye week, so he gets a little extra acclimation time. And most of Tate's receiving production comes very close to the line of scrimmage. He's not somebody who runs a lot of intricate or deep routes. So I would think that he could probably get up to speed with Carson Wentz pretty quickly. He's the one guy of that group that you mentioned that I'm most bullish on. But usually I want my receivers to stay where they were. I mean, I would have preferred if Tate stayed in Detroit, Thomas stayed in Denver, although him leaving opens up for Cortland Sutton. I think Sutton, of all these guys, I think the one player I really want is the guy who stayed put, and that's Cortland Sutton.
Yeah. You know, a young player for them. He's had his share of targets before Thomas was gone, and now one would expect those numbers to, you know, click up quite a bit.
Yeah, and we're so happy when a rookie receiver isn't over his head. There's that one year, 2014, where Beckham went crazy and Mike Evans was good, and you guys had Watkins in Buffalo, who was an impact player. But usually rookie receivers, you know, we're just asking them to get their feet wet and try to figure out the game, and then maybe they expand their route tree and their role in year two or year three. When somebody looks like they can handle things, and they made the Thomas trade in part because they believe Sutton was ready, it just shows that he's the rare first-year player who maybe can be impactful for fantasy.
One thing on these young you're talking about young receivers. I think this is an important point. Even if you're not a fantasy football player, but you want the Bills to add receivers to their roster next year, Calvin Ridley's another one. Ridley hasn't had a 100-yard game in 5 weeks after a huge breakout performance. He still has a number of touchdowns this year. But when you look at rookie receivers, is it more – you would say it's much more of a rarity to have a rookie receiver make a big-time impact from a fantasy standpoint. And I think you could easily, of course, then link that to if the Bills have a rookie receiver next year, you should really only expect so much from them.
Right. And you're also drafting, and one of the reasons that Ridley has been so good is the situation he was put into is so good. You know, Matt Ryan, he's got an MVP on his resume, and a Falcons offense that's been, you know, they went crazy 2 years ago. Finally, kind of getting things going with Steve Sarkisian. They had some bumps last year. I don't think they threw their running backs enough. And then when they had that really terrible opening game against Philadelphia, a lot of people are like, oh, here we go again. You know, they can't get it going in the red zone. Maybe Sarkisian doesn't really know what he's doing here. But since then, they've been one of the NFL's best offenses in the red zone, and Calvin Ridley's had a lot to do with it. Probably helps that he came out at an older age than some of these receivers. It's a double-edged coin because if a receiver comes out early, you know, you get all those development years. I mean, Amari Cooper is still just 24 years old because he came out of Alabama a year early, where Ridley had a redshirt year. I think he's 24 already, too. But maybe you get a more polished player when you draft the older guy, the guy who stayed in college for all 4 years. But mostly I think Ridley, in addition to being talented, his breakout ties to the fact that he's with a really good plus quarterback and with an offense that's one of the five or six best in the NFL.
Speaking with Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline, are there any offenses right now if you were buying stock in an offense for the stretch run here for fantasy football?
Well, since you said buying and selling, I want to jump to a sell first.
Okay.
One offense that absolutely petrifies me right now is Detroit. They lost Tate. They had the 10 sacks they took against Minnesota. And, you know, part of that was the line didn't play particularly well. But, you know, Stafford doesn't have an optimal hot read to go to if Tate's not on the offense. This is a team, schedule is not easy going forward. They play Chicago two times in the next 3 weeks, which is there's not that many defenses that move the needle. Like, oh, no, I don't want to face that team. Chicago's one of those teams. So I think the Lions is an offense that I'd be worried about. I think Philadelphia could take off. They had the really impressive win in Europe over Jacksonville. They get their bye week. Now they add Tate. They had this rookie Adams running back out of Notre Dame who was starting to get some traction. I think he's an interesting add if you can get him. Alshon Jeffrey, just another week removed from that shoulder problem. He wasn't ready at the beginning of the season. Aguilar was probably over his head. He probably won't play that much in the second half of the year. That's why they got Tate. It's a great time, a good playoff schedule, too. I think it's a really good time to get in on Wentz. You'd have to trade for him, of course. I think Tate will be okay in the new offense. Jeffrey has played better than I expected, and they have capable running backs. I think the Eagles are eventually going to win this division. I think they might win it by a couple of games. I still think they're one of the best teams in the NFC.
I think there's a fun conversation to be had. If you have a dynasty league, what do you do about Le'Veon Bell? I think it's getting more and more clear he won't play at all this year. He posts that cryptic message, and the Steelers are fine without him. So he's going to go to the market. He thinks he's going to get a ton of money, but that's not really anybody's concern. Should you seek out the disgruntled Bell owner in your dynasty league and see if you can get him for pennies on the dollar or whatever it might be? Because he's still going to have all the talent. You don't know where he's going to be, but you do have the opportunity to maybe get him low if you've got a team that's in a playoff position and knows that Bell serves them nothing right now.
Yeah, I'd have to like the price on Bell. I mean, the NFL, especially at running back, is a young man's game. It's a low mileage game. Pittsburgh certainly seems to have turned the page with Connor, who's been terrific, but a lot better than I expected. I mean, he's really been as good as Le'Veon Bell at peak, which crazy to say that, but that's the way it's played out. So I don't think Bell will do anything the rest of this year. I think Pittsburgh would probably prefer that he just not come back. Maybe there's even a handshake or a wink agreement that they're not going to tag him. It just doesn't make sense for them financially. I always want the youngest players I can get for dynasty leagues. I want running backs specifically who are in their first, second, third year. Bell out of Michigan State, he's taken a lot of pounding, a lot of mileage. I think he'll probably have to sign some kind of prove-it deal after this year. I don't think somebody's going to ante up 5 or 6 years for him. So maybe he'll be a really good play in 2019, but I'm worried about the long-term potential there.
Hey, Scott, just a general fantasy question. I don't know if you heard while I was on the line. I gave my wife the chance to pick my picks this week in my Pick'em League. But, you know, she pays attention to my fantasy football team, too. She does not play. I'm just curious from you, like, what have you seen as far as the demographics of fantasy football and how they've kind of exploded, it seems like, here over the last few years?
Yeah, it expands a lot of demos. But obviously, they want to hit the young people demographic. What is it, 20 to 34, and it does really well there. But a lot of women play fantasy. A lot of older people, younger people, kids play fantasy. It's far and away the most accessible of fantasy games. And my girlfriend knows a lot about football. I have no problem handing over the pick sheet to her if I'm in a slump. And sometimes just getting a different voice. I mean, you see teams right where they switch the play caller. They fire the offensive coordinator. Maybe
yeah,
you just
right.
need to fire yourself and bring in a new voice because your picks weren't responding to you. I mean, I think that's a great move. Give her the headset. Give her the clipboard, and maybe you'll be successful the rest of the way.
What's the next wave? What's the next step in fantasy football? We have DFS that's just blowing up here.
I was going to say, the formats, every time we mention a new format, I think that we get people that say, ooh, I'm going to have to try one of those. Like, I'm in this guillotine league that I love, and I'm still alive, and I don't know how long it's going to last. But anytime I mention the guillotine league, someone will say, all right, I'm doing that next year. Is there a new hot format? Vampire, guillotine, there's a million different ones, and it seems like every time I hear about a new one, I at least want to try it.
Yeah, one thing I'm having a lot of fun with is a friend of mine, Derek Van Riper, who works for RotoWire, he started a league in the industry called the Pentathlon, where we have five different prongs, where we did a best ball draft before the season. We had an auction before the season. We have a survivor league in that league. We have weekly against the spread picks, and we do a DFS contest every week. So there's five different elements to it, and then how you score in each one comes up to a total score, and that's how they score. I think a fun way to get fantasy, more handicapping in it, more who's going to win this game by how many points. I know some leagues, their fantasy defense ties into point differential, so you have to, or maybe you pick a head coach, where if the coach wins the game, you get plus 10 points or you get their point differential for the game. I think that's a neat little tweak for fantasy that we could see more of is having more asking who's going to win the game. And also, I love the Superflex format, which is you have one more flex player who can be a quarterback, running back, receiver, or tight end. It basically turns leagues into two quarterback leagues, except that if you don't have a second quarterback, you could play somebody at a different position. And I think when you're starting more players in a fantasy game every week. That means if your star running back gets hurt in the first quarter, you're not as sunk as you would be. Or if one of your players has an outlier performance, good or bad, it's less impactful because you're starting more guys. You have more people to root for. It smooths out the variance a little bit. I think it ends up, at the end of the day, giving you a better experience.
All right, Scott. Thanks for the time this morning, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks. I'm going to hand my phone to my girlfriend.
There you go.
Perfect. Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, and on Twitter, Scott_PianoWSKI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.